Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I'm your host, the one, the only, Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, the ever lovely Lady Diane, Queen of the Unger Universe in the cyber world. Whatever that means, we don't even know what that means. Also, the incredible Philip James Unger, heir to the vast and mighty Unger fortune.
Somebody said you should introduce him as the heir to the Unger receding hairline or something like that.
Cool, man. People are cruel. cruel people.
It's gone.
It's gone. It is what it is. We have a special guest joining us today. We have Daniel and Nora. Nora. Tanev? Is that how you say last name?
Yes. There you correct. Go.
They are from Bulgaria. Bulgaria! Say something in Bulgarian.
Здравейте на всички, много се радваме, че ни слушате.
I agree, 100%! We'll talk to them more in just a second. The show is engineered, as always, by the very talented and eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incredibly, immeasurably boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgungor.com. So anyway, you guys started watching the show. How'd you find out about us?
Well, I found your YouTube video first. Then somebody gave me your seminar, and that started everything. I became a Gungorian.
Now, Daniel actually does his own podcast.
Yes.
And he does the Bulgarian version of the show.
You do it together, right, both of you?
Yes, with my wife. Yes.
Yeah, people just watch it for her.
Yes.
She's a super babe. She's a Bulgarian super babe, and he's just a lucky man.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know if your show's probably not as crazy as ours, I would not think, but you take emails and...
Yes.
Same thing?
Yeah, we take emails anonymously, and half of our questions are about sex, of course. So...
Just like this?
Yep.
So how did the Bulgarian church handle that?
Well, it was strange in the beginning. We got some hate emails in the beginning. But after that, everything...
From Christians.
Yes.
Only Christians. Only Christians love to hate people because they're different. Anyway, but now it's all cool?
Yeah. People love it. People listen it. We reach Bulgarians in 44 countries.
Really?
Yes. And for a year, we had about 50,000 downloads of the show. So
wow.
It covers a huge need. Yeah.
That is awesome. My dad, I was born a Puerto Rican with the last name Rodriguez, but my parents got divorced when I was very young. Then a few years later, my mother remarried a man who was born in Bulgaria, Unger, hence the last name, Unger. He's a Turk. The Bulgarians threw the Turks out of the country. Do you remember this? You weren't around, yeah. But at some point, you know, everybody yells at the... our country right now because of our problem with immigration. A lot of countries had problems with this for a long time. And at some point, they feel overrun, and some of them get very mean about it. And back then, they just ran all the Turks out of Bulgaria. So my grandfather, his father, they lost everything, all their property, their homes, their business. It's just too bad, so sad. And they ran them off back to Istanbul, Turkey, which isn't too terribly far from you guys, actually, is it? So... anyway, so my Bulgarian is really good. I don't know anything.
Well, never mind.
My English is very bad,
never
I know,
mind.
So don't worry about that. All right, what do you got there for today?
Three things your phone reveals about your marriage.
All right, here we go.
Number one, how often we call and text our spouse reveals a lot about the place of priority our marriage has in our daily schedule.
Unless your wife is by your side 24/7.
I completely understand that some jobs are more flexible than others, but I've come to discover that the strongest couples find a way to connect throughout the day, even when they have busy schedules. Those frequent interactions, even if they're brief, are a lifeline that keeps a couple connected. If you're not talking through the day, you're depriving your marriage of vital communication.
What I'm saying is you can talk to them without the stupid thing.
Sure.
See, that's my wife's version of texting me is, put that thing down!
Yeah.
Quit looking at that thing.
Talking with your spouse is always better than texting with someone else or checking Facebook or playing Candy Crush or catching Pokemon.
Oh, she's a Candy Crush. Is that what she plays?
Candy Crush.
Yeah. She's like an addict.
Yeah. It is rather, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah,
I don't quite get it.
It is.
I just watched these little things.
I played it for a while. She got me on it. In fact, she's a Candy Crush pusher.
She had a detox. To get away from Candy Crush. Yeah. Okay, number two.
Any form of secrecy related to our phones reveals a serious lack of honesty, transparency, and trust in the marriage. When a spouse is defensive or secretive about his or her phone, it's usually a symptom of some kind of unhealthy behavior. Mm-hmm. Not always infidelity, though inappropriate interaction with the opposite sex are certainly common among people who keep passwords from their spouses. Any form of deception or secrecy in a marriage is toxic.
Mm-hmm. And so is toxic stuff.
Toxic.
Like drugs and poison and stuff.
Toxic waste
can be very toxic. It's all in the same category.
The third one, check your photos. The amount of pictures of your spouse and pictures of the two of you together on your phone is visible evidence of how much or how little you're really part
what
of each other's lives.
What if most of the photos on your spouse's phone you took of them?
I know. That's your poor self over there, Phil.
Instagram husband.
Yeah.
And what if your wife doesn't like her picture taken?
That's right.
Exactly. That's my issue because I want pictures with her, but she's like, no, I don't have my makeup. I don't have my hair fixed.
See? So this is all caca.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something that should not be on your phone. Pictures of you guys doing the wild thing.
Oh, they should not.
What is crazy people?
I know. That little post that you put on that article caused quite the stir.
And I told him, you're an idiot. Yeah. First of all, who videotapes himself having sex?
Apparently a lot of people.
Oh, what idiot does that?
Do you need like a selfie stick?
Yeah, what the heck? What kind of a narcissistic moron are you?
It's not uncommon from what
I hear.
Well,
they're idiots.
We're really good at this. We should videotape this.
Oh, my goodness gracious. And then the thing is connected to the world.
Yes.
Hence the World Wide Web. Yes. Do you read where phones get hacked and then people, you got pictures of me having sex on the internet. Well, how about you not record yourself having sex on the stupid phone?
That's why we only take Polaroids.
That's right. Good old-fashioned Polaroids.
I don't know why they do that. I wouldn't even want to watch it myself.
Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine.
I'm horrified thinking somebody else would get that.
Well, here's the reality. Very few people look good naked. I don't care who you are. There's a 1/10 of 1%, 1,000% of people that actually look good when they're completely naked. Those are the people who get paid to look good naked. The rest of the people don't look so good naked.
No.
Why would you do this?
There's certain angles you don't want a camera.
Right.
And your kid picks up the phone.
Do they want to see, what do we look like doing this? I mean, what?
I don't know.
The point?
They're just idiots. Oh, it's because of the whole porn culture. Everybody thinks it's cool.
Make our own porno.
Bunch of idiots.
I guess.
I've never seen, have you ever, out of pure narcissistic curiosity, like these famous people get their videos. You ever click one on to look?
No.
I never have.
No.
They can't look very good.
No.
I mean, a phone is a...
The only picture, I will confess, the only one I ever clicked on was Brett Favre's when he got busted for sexting.
Yeah.
I did click on that. And
I did too.
And it accidentally became her screensaver. I don't know how that happened.
No.
And it was horrifying.
Yes!
Especially a man's willy.
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody likes the willy.
Nobody wants to
Willies
see that.
Are not... pretty things. The female form is rather entertaining and very, you know, artistic and stuff like that. But the willy,
depending.
What do you do with a willy?
Depending.
It's pretty,
just heaven's sakes.
No. And I don't know why y'all guys think that we want to see it.
I don't think anybody wants to see it, for heaven's sake.
So, no, I have heard more stories about these poor women.
Because the people are crazy.
They get these messages on their phone from men who, you know, like off of dating sites or people they hardly know. What are you thinking?
Four things, not three things your phone reveals. Fourth one is if you got pictures of you naked on there, you're a moron. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
Mark Gunger here to tell you about Talking Up, our Transition One program. This is a program for young men and women who are graduating from high school and encouraging them to take a year off. It's a gap year program. Instead of your kid going right from high school into college, becoming obsessed by all the things of the world and money, 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 and career and everything, slow down for a minute. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all this stuff will be added to you. I think Christian parents, by and large, should be ashamed of themselves. We have created self-centered little narcissistic monsters that are absolutely obsessed with money and careers and everything else. And this is their chance to slow down, put God first. All that stuff will come later. Take 1 year off and go grow a little bit spiritually. Now, we have this program. It's called Transition One. Lots of programs popping up around the country on this. And a lot of people do it. Even secular people are doing it. Barack Obama's daughter took a gap year program. Slow down. Unless you're in sports, I get it. If you're an athlete and you know, you can't take a year off because most sports athletes have a very short window. Mm-hmm. Once you hit some 25, you start to lose it already, okay? So I get that. But even then, your kid should be focused not so much on obsessing about everything in this world. But with short of your kid being the next Brett Favre or whatever, slow down. Take a year off. Our program, what thing that makes our program different is that it's ours. We're in Green Bay, Wisconsin. With our emphasis, those of you who watch the show, I meet with these kids. Actually, this next year, I'm going to be meeting with them once a week.
Very good for you.
Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah, every Tuesday morning.
All right.
Talk about life, love, the whole deal with these kids, and walking them through, showing them how to approach life, how to make decisions. And it's not just a Bible college, there's Bible stuff in it, but we show them how to make decisions, how to be a leader, how to balance a checkbook, how to handle money, how to not be a moron.
Don't be a moron.
First, then they serve. We show them how to serve. For 6 months, they do this. And then the last 3 months, we send them overseas where they get a hands-on. I know a lot of you guys do mission trips, but you're talking these 10-day mission trips. It's a vacation. It's not a mission trip, for heaven's sake. I mean, I know it's more than a vacation, but you want to really experience something, you got to stay over there for a while. So we put them over there for 3 months. They get a chance to really serve, really understand what this is all about. Anyway, go check out the program on our website, transitionone.org. We are back on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Hearing the music of Jimmy Bratcher. Jimmy's got a new CD out.
Yep.
That's probably Jimmy right now. Anyway, what's that about? So check out the music, jimmybratcher.com. We'll start playing his new CD.
Yes.
I think I brought,
Did you get it with me?
Yeah. I haven't even listened to it yet. I'm sure it's great. All right. What do you got?
Okay. This is kind of a long one, so stay with me. It's rather engaging and entertaining, in my opinion. He says, I love my wife dearly, and she is amazing. And the most beautiful and hardworking and honorable woman I have ever met. That's why I married her, lucky me. Wow. But there is this one thing, he says.
That's always something.
He's 60 and the missus is 48. He says, not our first marriage, been married 14 years. Okay, got all of that?
60-48. Which, by the way, I argue in my book for singles, Being Found, available now at markgunger.com. Single girls of any age, you need this book. You got daughters who are single, get them this book. Daughters who are of single marrying age, get them this book. Or granddaughters, all right? In here, one of the things I encourage is young marriage. You girls who wait, or you wind up divorced and stuff like that, one of the catches for you is you start getting past 40, you pretty much can add at least 10 years to a man who will pay attention to you. Mm-hmm. It is the way it is. It's just the realities of life. Now, there's always exceptions to it, but generally speaking, you're 40, you know who Guys your age don't want to marry 40-year-olds. They want to go back into the 20-year-old pool or the 30-year-old pool. It's the way it is. You want someone close to your age, you wind up getting married in your 20s and you stay married. Someone who's 48, she's married to a guy who's 60, and that is extremely common. And a lot of these girls that I talk to, they don't want an older guy.
No.
They want to go on there, and that's why they stay single.
Yeah.
Because they just don't grab the attention of these guys. It is what it is. Get the book. All right.
Okay, so he says, my wife, I consider to be very controlling. She did the flag page, your online assessment, and came up not as controlling, but as a perfect person. Mm-hmm. The issue is my missus equates control with care. So whenever I complain about it, too much control, she explains she is only showing care. Here are some examples of her care. She tells me how to eat my food, what veggies to combine on the fork with the meat, as she knows best what food will taste like together. Uh-huh. Within minutes of me being in the door, she will often say, have you washed your hands? When we have cake for dessert, she watches closely if I put a bite of cake in my mouth before swallowing, if I have a sip of tea. She doesn't like it. She explains that's not the way of eating dessert properly. Recently, she put tea in the cup at a meal. I take a sip of tea. She explained, I'm not supposed to do that. The tea only tastes good with food like cake. When she likes a TV show, she makes me sit down and watch with her as a share and care thing, he says. It doesn't matter if I want to watch the show. On the flip side, she will never and refuses to watch any show that I want her to watch. When we play tennis, because she loves to play tennis, if I ever don't want to play, the pain she would inflict on me would be so prolonged, it is better for me to just go along with her desire and play for the hour. Uh-huh. Oh, the things I love, if she does not like, she avoids and will not participate. Yesterday, she asked me if I had a nap in the day. I said no, and she said, why not? I left you to sleep. I said, because I don't want to. So, of course, now we are not talking. The list I started above is from the last couple of days only. I could write a list of 1,000 lines, and many on the list is repeated day after day after day.
Oh, you big baby.
Okay.
All right, listen to me.
Go ahead.
People who have perfect-natured wives or husbands. The thing about perfect-natured people, and if you're curious about this test he's talking about, go to our webpage, the flagpage.com, flagpage.com. It's an online assessment that shows you what you're made of and what motivates you. And one of the basic breakdowns is, we call them countries. People come from fun country or control country or perfect country or peace country. His wife comes from perfect country. Number one, don't tell her she's controlling. They hate it when you tell her that, okay? Perfect people hate it when you tell them they're trying to control things. So they're not trying to control things. You want to get marry a control person. They will literally control you, and they don't care. It's not an insult to them. They like you're just a pawn in their world. What the perfect people do is they are constantly stopping things to make them more perfect or more right. It feels like control, but it's a whole different motivation. You go after her, accusing her of a control. She's not hearing a word you're saying, all right? It's not about control for her. If she was a control person, it would be. It's about getting things right. And the thing about perfect-natured people is they're just very picky. If you remember you took the test, one of the signs of a perfect-natured people is they're looking on the world under a magnifying glass. They're always looking at things closer. And their way of saying, I love you, is let me tell you what's wrong with you. Don't do that. Don't wear that. Don't talk. And they're just constantly things. It's like being pecked to death by a giant chicken. All right? That's the way these people are. And believe it or not, sir, that is love from these people. If they love you, they will pick you to pieces, all right? Because they just want you to be better. Now, it doesn't feel like love. It feels like you're being pecked to death by a chicken, all right? But don't be throwing at her that she is a control freak. She's not a control freak. She's a perfect-natured woman. And when she starts pecking at you like a giant chicken, just look at her and say, you know, I love you the way you are. You're a wonderful woman. I know you love everything to be perfect, but leave me alone. That's all you got to do. Compliment her for who she is. I love the way that you watch details for this, and you always look nice, and the house is great, and you do all these wonderful things, okay? And I do. I love that about it. It's what drew me to you. I love the fact that you are, hold her face like this. I love your perfect little face. I love your perfect little eyes. I love your perfect little ears. I love your perfect little hair. But leave me alone, all right? That's all you got to do. Lighten up a little bit. Don't go around boo-hooing and stuff like that. You say, well, if I don't go tennis with her, she gets mad. Well, then go. There's all kinds of things my wife does, and she's not a perfect nature woman. If I don't do, she'll get very mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was at a conference recently, and someone asked me a question. It's a, you know, 300-400 people. Guy raises his hand. I got a question. When I do such and such, my wife gets really mad at me. What should I do? I said, don't do it. I mean, how dumb are these people?
He really asked you a question during the conference?
I opened it up for questions.
Oh, you did?
It was a date night. I'm doing these date night things
now.
Oh,
okay, so it's different.
So at the end, I give him questions and answers. But it's so funny. You know, I said, this is what you do. If your wife likes it, do it. If she doesn't like it, don't do it. And of course, everybody's laughing hysterically. Mm-hmm. This guy's looking at me like, I've never heard such wisdom.
Yeah. Because he doesn't want to be told what he can and can't do.
No, just...
He wants to do what he wants to do.
But don't attack... When you attack fundamentally who a person is, you're going to crash and burn with them. Mister, I've already been divorced once. How about we not do that again, all right? Don't attack her for her propensity to want to be a detailed, picky person. That's who you married. Suck it up, buttercup, all right? Now, all you got to do, compliment her for it, love her for it, point it out when it's working great for her. Say, look, you make me a better man. I like that. But right now, you're making me crazy, all right? And laugh it off. You know, my wife tells me, hug me to sleep. I'll lift you to sleep. Well, I don't want to sleep.
Well, then he did, and she got mad, and does not stop talking to him.
Because he just needs to lighten up. They're making it too tense. People don't know how to just have fun with each other because he attacks her. I think if he's calling her a control freak and stuff like that, well, I don't want to do it. You can't tell me what to do. And then she gets mad, you know. Compliment her for who she is and then ask her not to do that to you right now. That's all you got to do.
Remember, she really is doing it because she cares. Loved,
yeah.
That's it.
It doesn't feel like it, but it is.
That's the thing about perfect people. If they didn't care, they would let you burst into flames. Yeah. They wouldn't tell you anything. Yeah. They couldn't care less.
Yeah.
But when they care, then they get real picky. That's
and
who you marry.
And if you were doing everything correctly, and by correctly I mean her way, she would never tell you anything.
Yeah.
It's not about control.
Yeah. Just do it her way.
It's who you marry.
Stop talking.
Everybody belly aches. Oh, yeah, I married this person. They're always goofing around. And then I married them. Well, did they goof around ahead of time? Well, yeah, he's always been like that. Well, shut up. Everybody, we
That's
married
what you
people.
Married.
And then we get mad at who we married. Stop. You're not going to change her at 48. Just
amen.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations. We watched our past just fade away, just like ending a song.
We're back on the Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. So we just answered an email from a guy complaining about his perfect-natured wife. And as we were coming to the end, Nora was going, amen, amen. So are you a perfect-natured woman?
Yes, is that, she is.
Yeah?
Yes, she is. And we've had that dynamics that,
that I was reading
that
all
dynamics.
About.
Yep.
Not that bad, but because she's very perfect-oriented, and she would tell me things. And I think what helped us is because I'm a person that she can't motivate me. I got to motivate myself. So if she pushes too hard, it's actually bad. So I just had to explain to her that, hey, just give me the information. I realize it's helpful, but I got to motivate myself to do what you tell me to do. And actually, you'll get better results that way instead of trying to push it. So just explaining how things work for me helped her, and we kind of find balance. I hear her, she hears me, and I wonder what his flag page would be.
His? Oh, who knows?
Well, he did tell
What's
me
yours?
What it was.
Oh, I'm also perfect control, I
perfect
think.
Perfect control. So you're both two perfect people.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting, because then you'll disagree with what's perfect.
I mean, we are both perfect control.
You're both perfect control?
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of rare.
But just in different areas.
Two extremely strong-willed people is what it is. Yeah. What about hard and soft scales? So those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, go take the test and you'll know what we're talking about. But what's the flagpage.com is the address. The soft and hard scale. Do you know what that is?
I don't. I think for me, I was right in the middle.
And for her?
I don't remember.
Oh, that would be real interesting.
Yeah.
Well, see if we can.
I'm
looking.
Yeah. We're trying to pull up your results. We'll take a look at it.
All right.
And then we can make fun of you in front of everybody. We can mock
that
you.
Guy was, well, he said he was first creative and peace, but that's not right because creative is not a country. So I don't know what he was talking about, but I'm guessing peace.
It's just, the reality is, if someone's being a certain way you don't want them to be, to insult them is not your answer. For example, someone like me, It was always fun and stuff. It was always must be so much fun. Really, this really gets
messing around, Mark.
This gets irritating after a while. It does. No. Ask the people around me.
No.
And my wife, just to say to someone who's always fun, you're always goofing around, you're never serious, I can't stand it about you, is not going to help you. You come to someone who's really fun, say, look, I know everybody thinks you're funny. My wife say, yeah, Mr. Funny Guy, everybody loves you, I get it, but you're making me crazy. Stop. You know, that's the way to do it. Acknowledge who they are, compliment who they are, tell them what's good about them, and then ask them to do something else. That will work with people. You've got a perfect nature spouse that's driving you crazy. Don't attack that. Compliment it. Point out what's wonderful about it, and then ask them not to do it to you. And that tends to work much, much better. The reality is everybody's different. We all drive each other crazy. The good news is eventually we die. We'll be back right after this.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
When it walked into the room, it was all business, that's for sure.
Going to the five chord.
He walked up to the band and said, play three chords and no more.
The music of Jimmy Bratcher. Said, play me three song is called Three Chords and No More. Ironically, it has more than three chords in it. But only a musician would catch that. Daniel actually is a great musician. Have you heard him play?
Yes, I have.
This dude can bring it. Mm-hmm. Kills it. Kills it. Great singer, too. All right. Mark Unger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. We started out with an email about some guy complaining about his perfect-natured wife, perfect-natured people. It feels like they're control freaks, but they're not control freaks. Don't call them control freaks. You won't like what you get. Okay.
It makes them very mad.
It makes them angry, and it makes things worse. Don't tell her she's controlled. She's not trying to. She just wants things to be right according to her world. Well, I don't like it. Well, you married her. Shut up. You know, be nice. Just say, look, I know you like things perfect, but and that's great. Again, compliment who they are first, and then ask them to not do that to you. That's all you got to do. You don't have to make it a situation where people get mad at each other. The fact that your wife's getting mad at you knows it shows that you don't know how to talk to your wife. When you can't talk to your wife without making her mad, you don't get it, all right? You're already in. This is your second marriage, which means somebody screwed up the first one. Wouldn't surprise me if it was you,
well,
all right?
She may have died. Oh, it didn't say that.
I thought you said it was a divorce.
No, it said it was second marriage, but it didn't say, it didn't say that. Well, so just on the outside people, chance.
But it's safe to say when somebody gets a divorce, they had a hand in. Very few people is one-sided, okay?
Yes.
So let's pretend, for the sake of argument, that he's divorced, which he didn't get this right once before,
okay?
All right? Or his wife may have died.
Yes.
We understand.
Just want
to. Usually they refer to themselves as widows in such a choice. But anyway, okay, so don't do it again. Don't mess it up again. Don't go attacking her. Learn how to have fun with the girl, all right? You say, well, I don't want to do it. Well, that's selfishness. You can do it. Don't attack her. Now, Nora and Daniel here said that's pretty much their scenario, but we pulled up their flag page during the break. Check out the program, flagpage.com. It's so much fun. Anyway, it turns out he's the one who's perfect in control. He was correct. That means they're extremely strong-willed people. They want to get it right, and they want to get it done. Get it done, and get it done right. Guys like this should have their own third-world countries, you know, and call themselves Fidel Castro and rule.
Thank you.
Yes. Because they like, you know, they don't have any problem with that. Get it right, get it done. Get it done right. His lovely wife actually is not perfect-natured. According to the test, she's fun and then
perfect.
Okay, but so it doesn't leave her. Okay.
So then, of course, it's good when you have the whole program to look at the whole program.
What are the scores? How close are her scores?
148, fun, 123, perfect.
So they're pretty close. Now, she does have high perfect. You are running into that. But she's leading with fun. Let me ask you, Dory, do you ever feel conflicted? Kind of fighting inside over things? I don't know. This is her second language, so forgive her. She doesn't quite grasp it.
I don't think so, do I?
I don't think so, too.
Well, that's unusual. Usually fun, perfect people feel very conflicted because the two motivations don't like each other. Fun doesn't like perfect, and perfect doesn't like fun, but you love them both at the same time. And a lot of these people feel conflicted. 99% of people I talk to who are like that immediately say, yes, I feel conflicted inside. Okay, so you don't. That's good. All right? So you're a healthy girl. So, no, it's good. I mean, so, but the one will affect the other. If things are not right, she'll quit having fun. So it becomes her gateway. That's why you keep running into perfect.
Yep.
Because she'll fight for the perfect because you're getting in her way of making things fun for her. All right? Mm-hmm. So, and she, it is important. She wants that so she can have fun. All right?
And her, in the flag, her A box,
yeah,
idealistic.
Oh, man. So that's a good
talking.
Dose of perfect.
Keep talking. All right.
But the interesting thing about, there's a part of the test that measures what we call your soft motivations versus your hard motivations. Hard motivated people, it sounds bad from a Christian worldview, but it's not hard hearted. It's just that everything's black and white to them. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom. They know who they are, they know what they believe, and they know what they think.
Yeah.
Soft people are very malleable and they like lots of words and they, okay. Now, usually, soft people will marry other soft people. Soft people will marry hard people will marry soft people. What's rare is for a hard person to marry a hard person. Both of these guys are hard, mm-hmm. okay? That's very unusual because they usually destroy each other during the dating process, all right? Now, the thing is you they can fight. I mean, I don't know you guys that well, but hard people like that can fight rather spectacularly. It's rather entertaining, you know? But they almost never get a divorce. Do you know why?
Because nobody wants to lose.
They don't want to lose. Exactly right. These are going to fight to the death, to the very end, but they never give up on each other. So it's a good thing. But the thing with hard people is they're just very, very to the point and very, yes. very direct.
Yes.
So you run into that. So she will fight you when your perfects are not lining up.
Yep.
So people say, oh, if we were just the same. There's no such thing as the same.
Because his version of what's perfect and right and ideal is not yours.
Yes. And then you'll... perfect in different areas of life.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be perfect in when it comes to home, but she is, know how you order things. And but I think when you love each other, when you have a level of maturity and you talk about each other, this is how I function, you kind of find a middle ground that works for both of you.
All right, we're going to talk about maturity. I'm out of this conversation. Nah, we've really ruined everything.
You mean you have to be mature?
You have to be mature. No wonder I don't get this stuff right.
Good night.
So anyway, it's a fun program. It just shows you what motivates the other person and how you can succeed with them. Check it out, flagpage.com. All right, let's take an early break.
Okay.
And we'll come back for a longer session. We'll come back with another email right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
In a hospital room where one is born, another one be laying down. A young man lives like it don't matter. It's a hard-pressed hook and ladder. The world's on fire and I'm getting out, 'cause tomorrow may not matter, so
don't sell me no green bananas.
Mark Unger Show, where we're not selling any green bananas today. We are talking to you about love, marriage, and relationships. What do you got there for our next email?
She wants to know, is there such a thing as innocent flirting with old men? I mean, as in
yes,
old,
said the
men,
old man.
Innocent flirting. She said, I think flirting...
Being an old man, I would say yes. But go ahead.
She says, I think flirting always has an ulterior motive. The funny thing is, my husband admits that he was flirting. This even put a slight crack in my trust in
wait a minute,
him.
Wait a minute. I thought she said flirting with an old man.
No, old man.
Her husband
flirting.
Is the old man,
oh,
and he's
the
doing
man.
The flirting.
Oh, I thought it was a young girl flirting
no,
with the old
no,
man.
No, and he's doing the flirting.
All right.
He says it's innocent, but what is innocent flirting? He just got caught. I think that's why he says that it's innocent. I think it sends a wrong message to the person you are flirting with and the person you hurt, which was me. What do you think? Here's the back, he's 62. The lady he's
very young,
flirting
really
with.
Old.
Is in her 40s.
Okay.
She happens to be a waitress in the restaurant that they own. She says, I don't think the woman's playing into his flirting, but then people have mistaken them in the restaurant to be married to each other.
Uh-huh.
When he passes by her and she's in the way, he will pat her on the butt to make her move. They also have a lot of inside jokes and talk on the phone and all that. They've been married for 33 years. She said she asked him to stop and he has, but she wonders if he's only stopped doing it when she's around and in front of her. Or not?
Oh, I don't know. It depends on what you think flirting is. And this is the kind of thing you can have an argument with 100 people and have 100 different responses to it. Some people flirting is just a path to sex. If you're flirting, you're trying to have sex with that person. All right. Then there's other people. The version of flirting is just enjoying the opposite sex in a fun way, but it has nothing to do with sex at all. So it just depends on where he's coming from. You know who I flirt really good with? Like six-year-olds. They're a really cute little girl. They love me. They're in love with me.
Well, that's not the kind much that she's worried about.
But no, I'm always smiling, and it depends on what flirting is. You know, I'll see some 30, you know, at 62, anybody under 40 is really gorgeous. All right?
Thank you.
They are. Even Diane's gorgeous.
Thank you. Right? I'm not under 40.
She's not under 40. So, I mean, it is what it is. I see, and I smile at him, and I tell him, oh, my gosh, you have beautiful eyes. You know,
so yes.
Like, now, to some of us, that's really flirting.
Now, that's different if you're, like, in a restaurant or an airport or you're passing by. This is someone he works with all the time.
Yeah.
And he's patting her on the butt. I'd say that's not really innocent anymore.
You didn't let me get to the butt part. One should not be putting one's hands on a butt, other people's butts, especially women of the opposite sex. Don't be grabbing their butts. She calls him on it, and he stopped. Yeah. Okay. What's he doing in secret? Well, come on. How do you know what he's doing? If you're that paranoid, ask the other girls. Hey, is he still slapping Susie on the butt when I'm not around? No, he didn't do that anymore. Good. Yeah. That's all you got to do.
That's all, yeah.
You know what I expect her to say is, I told him to stop and he did, but I don't know if he really wants to stop.
Oh, no. She just didn't know if he did.
One of these psychotic female things. Oh, what does he really want in his heart? What he wants in his heart is a slap her on the butt, you know? You know? What? I mean, he's doing what he wants to do. It's inappropriate. Yeah. We all agree it's inappropriate. Yes. He told her. She told him it's inappropriate. He stopped.
Yes.
Okay, over. Great. I just get frustrated with this, well, what's really in their heart kind of thing.
No.
You know, your flesh longs for things it shouldn't long for. It's called lust.
And maybe for him it was innocent. If he's like, sorry, didn't mean anything by it, and quit doing it, maybe it really was innocent for him. For somebody else, it might not be.
I could see myself doing it, and it would be nothing, to be honest with you. I can also see my wife knocking me upside the head and telling me not to do it, at which case I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think you're fine. You know, he's 60-some years old, and is it just the one girl? If it's just
she
the
only
one,
referred to this one.
Well, see, now that might be, if it's the only one. If he's the kind of guy who's just gregarious to everybody, and smiling at everybody, and hugging everybody, and he's kind of flirty in that sense, just that fun play between sexes, I personally don't have a problem with that at all, because I do it. Quite
frankly. But if it's just this one, and she's noticing that.
If the only one he notices and flirts with and plays with and whatever kids around with is one chick, you got a problem. Then he needs to stop. My guess is at his age, he's probably kind of flirty towards.
There's some people that are just like that.
Yeah, I know. I see him in the mirror all the time. No, I know it. I'm not trying to have sex with these women. And I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to insult my wife or anything else. And if I do anything that she doesn't like, she tells me. Don't do that.
The problem is that the recipient of that may or may not always know that it means nothing. That's how these guys get themselves in the jam where they're having sexual harassment suits now filed against them and people are making big deals out of it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't take it as innocent.
Yeah.
Or as meaning nothing.
Okay, but she says that even the girl doesn't take it seriously.
Well, that's what she says from her observation.
Well, she probably can tell.
She's not flirting into it, not playing into it.
Yeah. Look, there are people. I don't know if I can win this at all. There are people. There's women like this. Mm-hmm. I remember as a young guy, old ladies who grab you and kiss you and hug you, and they're just sparkly eyes. They're flirts by nature. They probably were that way all their lives. Mm-hmm. There are people who, by nature, they're just very feely-touchy. I hug everybody. I hug the guys. That make me gay. You know, I'm serious.
I know.
You know, and that's just me. And I know, you're so beautiful. I tell my wife she's gorgeous. I tell all the women, you're gorgeous. I do.
Yes.
It's me. Anybody knows? You know me. I do this.
But there
you
are some very...
I tell her she's gorgeous all the time. She is gorgeous, by the way. Turn the camera on Nora.
There she is.
There she is.
There are some very, try to say it nicely.
I've got underwear older than Nora.
Right.
Or I think I have them on, actually.
No.
Okay. I might have.
We don't need to hear that.
Okay.
There are some very prickly, shall we say, for
if your underwear
nice
is older
way.
Than Nora, it gets prickly.
Stop.
What?
I'm trying to talk.
He's talking about us. He's ignoring what you're saying.
And I'm trying to ignore what you're saying.
What else can I say about my underwear?
I know. I think that's weird. You got a little problem
Diane,
going on.
Diane, stall for me by pretending you're talking to me so I can think of something else.
Think of something else. But they're prickly. They just they would are. Not take that. And they would think, he's coming on to me. This is inappropriate. And, you know, he was sexually harassing me. He was sexually acting inappropriately towards me. And that's why when you hear these stories of, you know men being accused of things, they may very well. I'm not saying that they didn't. But I also know that there are people that, my gosh, if you smile or put your arm, you know, hand on somebody's arm, they just think that you have crossed a line and that that was horrific.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of your perspective.
I know. And there's nuance. The, like I said, the number of nuances to this is stunning. Mm-hmm. Okay. The bottom line is, I think when it is an inappropriate, there's a sense that it's inappropriate. And people usually can tell. And they'll call each other out on it. And your wife certainly should call you out on it. If your wife or your husband, sometimes it's the husband telling the wife, stop that, that's inappropriate. And she fights back. No, when your spouse is calling you on something, you need to step back. All right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's lines that people cross. They don't intend to in nasty, awful ways, but you cross the lines. And if my wife calls me on something, I step back. Oh, okay. Be more careful. Don't. I don't think it's as big as a mystery as we think. Trying to discuss it is very difficult because what words we're using to describe what kind of behavior here.
Well, and everybody's standard is different. I mean, what somebody would say to me that I would think, I blow it off, that doesn't mean anything. I know women who they would have a heart attack because they would think that it was so inappropriate.
Yeah, I know. And again, we're conceding to the word flirting. I don't really concede to the word flirting. I'm playful.
Yeah.
I think it's being polite. I think it's nice, you know. I love my friend Nazareth, you know, when I travel with him. He tries to find something about somebody, especially the ladies that were around, that they would really like. And he'll say something like, you know, your hair is absolutely gorgeous. And you watch these women, they light
up. It's just being nice.
Nobody tells them anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or you have the nicest smile I think I've ever seen.
Yes.
You are the happiest stewardess I've seen all day.
Yes.
Which a lot of them are demon-possessed, so it's nice to point out the happy ones.
Yes.
Okay? And now some would say, well, that's flirting. If flirting means I'm trying to play so I can have sex with you, that's always inappropriate.
But why do people jump to and leap to assume that that maybe is what you're thinking? I have been accused of being flirtatious, and I am not.
It's called judging.
No, I know. I get that.
Well, judging is when someone does something. You're so paranoid. Judging is when someone does something, you don't know why they do it, and you give the reason why. Daniel says something, and I say, well, that's because he's a jerk. Well, that's judging. I don't know why he did it, you know? Why do people are always judging each other? Christians are famous for this. That's why Jesus says, don't judge you. So, yeah.
Just being too smiley and nice sometimes.
Smiley,
because I have been accused of it. It's like, no, no, I wasn't doing anything.
That's why I don't let my wife look men in the eyes.
Turn your look away. Look away, Kirsty. Turn your gaze.
Always look at the sidewalk. Always look at the sidewalk. Because there are people who are playful by nature.
Yes.
I'm a playful person. You're a playful person. We all know people like this. And everybody knows people like this.
Yes.
To always assume that they are on the verge of sexual immorality, I think, is judging and unfair. Now, if you're doing something that's really crossing the line, I think the people closest to you should be able to see that and recognize. I think it's much more identifiable than anyone would be able to explain in writing. But you see it and you know it, and there's a line that's crossed, and then you can say something to each other. So I don't have a problem with that. So why do 60-some-year-old men playfully interact with? Well, they all don't. Some of us do. I am one of those who do. And I'll keep it up till I'm 98. And I'll see some 20-year-old girl and say, you are absolutely gorgeous. Well, they don't feel threatened by that because I'm a geezer. And I'm trying to have sex with them. I probably couldn't.
Oh, now we're going TMI.
At 96? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. There's playful, and it goes both sexes. There's playful ladies, and they're always considered flirts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, they're not always flirting. It's just, you know, there's people who are just playful by nature. To just judge them because they're not like, because here's why people judge it badly. Because for them to act that way,
it would be
really inappropriate.
I know. I can flirt with the best of them when I want to. I know when that line has been crossed.
Diane's
going
to have a class on how to flirt on next show.
But just being nice and smiley to somebody, that's not to me flirting.
But it is to others.
Yes.
That's why I think they should mind their own stinking business, go around judging people. However, I will concede if you're grabbing other young men by their butts. That probably should not be done.
Right.
He's got a wife. He called her on it. Case closed. That's all you got to do. All right. Enough of this nonsense. We'll take a break. We'll be back with our final segment right after this.
That was a long ramble.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
fool can see.
The music of Michael O'Brien. Check out his music at michaelo.org. Anyway, we ended the last segment. Phil said, two flirty people justifying their behavior.
They're like, man, we really beat that to death. I was like, because the two of you are sitting there trying to justify it to yourselves, like going around and around.
No,
really, when you're flirting, I mean, it's just this. Like,
I don't think it's flirty. Although, have you ever...
Or that's where you wouldn't be doing it.
I know. However, have you ever been misinterpreted?
Yes, that's what I
yes,
said.
I have been
accused and have gotten myself like, whoa.
By the person.
Not yes!
Yes! The person comes back at you with, hey, baby, let's go for a roll and a.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, not that exact, that
well,
extreme.
Well, I've heard.
But
I was
like, whoops, I guess that he thought something that I didn't intend.
Are you implying I exaggerate?
No.
Because
no.
No. Never!
No, never.
Ever.
Never, ever.
Ever have I exaggerated.
There's a lady, not to that
there's
extreme.
A lady at church who's very touchy. An older lady. She always loved my beard. She'd always come up and just touch my beard.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
My gosh. And she was clueless. She found out later. Actually, it was your sermon. You talked about inappropriate hugging.
Oh.
And she was convinced. Like, she felt convicted.
Like that
oh,
was
my goodness,
of...
that's me. Because she hugs everyone.
Does she stick her boobs in your chest?
She said, I was like, I probably do. I don't even think about it.
Yeah, well, that, I preach about
come
that.
Come in guns hot.
Okay. It's one thing to hug somebody. It's another thing to just hug them and stick your chest into there and stick in their boobs. And all the guy's thinking, oh, my gosh, boobs. And for 3 hours later, all he's thinking about is boobs. Okay, so that's not helpful to a man. Don't shove your boobs in another man's chest. So if she responded to that, then that's good. You can hug people. Well, then for the longest time after that, women were scared to death to hug anybody in our church. No, it's not. We're not. See, there's extremes all the time, right? You can hug people. Just don't plant yourself. Because I've had women just absolutely, you've seen around the church, they just plant themselves
on
guys. Well,
some guys do that too. It's like, whoa, that's a little too close and a little too long of a hug.
Yeah. You shouldn't be leading hips first.
That's right. There should be no hips touching when, no.
Well, then you just call it, please, I'm uncomfortable with that tight of a hug.
No.
So I talked about it, and I think by and large our young men, our men and women in our church behave themselves very well.
And the funniest was when I had my shoulder surgery,
uh-huh.
And people would come in for the side hug, but I couldn't get my arm all the way up. Like, it happened once with Diane. I was like, whoa.
Why? Because I would hurt you.
It stopped like halfway, and I did just end up at the butt.
You pervert.
Phil, you might be more than
mind,
I thought.
My shoulder, my arm could go higher than that.
Phil, quit grabbing people's butts. I can't raise my arm.
That's funny.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Cool. Now we're out of stuff to say.
I think we should wear these same outfits next week.
I think we will. I think we should. Tune in to see if we do. All right. See you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.